الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, inshallah after the program there will be a nikah taking place. So inshallah we just decided to speak on certain adab and etiquette regarding nikah, the sunnah method of nikah, and certain matters which inshallah by which we can improve our nikahs, our marriages. This is also a very important part of our deen. Just before starting, we'll just mention one sunnat, actually one dua of the Quran Sharif, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa ibadur rahman, who are the true servants of Rahman, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've got many, many qualities. But the last quality Allah mentions, that they are the ones who make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Many times we heard from Hazrat mentioning that Allah Mashan al-Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi son, Mawlana Anzar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned here on the minbar in Azad Wal in Darul Ulum, that he said, my father was a very busy person. Allah Mashan al-Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, what khidmat of deen he had done, Shaykh al-Hadith of Dioband, and all the time he was extremely busy in imparting the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he says, so you never have so much of time for our tarbiyat at home. It is the duty of the father, the parents, to make tarbiyat. But because he was so busy in deen khidmat. So he said, but my father, he was his habit that every day in salah, before making salam, he would recite this dua. And that time, duas are readily accepted also. So he said, through the barakat of this, Allah Ta'ala made it such, all of his children became ulama-i deen. Allah accepted all of them for the khidmat of deen. So really, this is a very powerful dua. Mufti Rashid Dijani Rahmatullah Ali, who mentioned, that this dua is such a blessed dua. Before getting married, a person should make the dua, because in that we are asking Allah Ta'ala for good spouses. Once we get married, also to continue making the dua, because the dua is for happiness in our homes. Qurrata ayun, Allah make our spouses the coolness of our eyes. So we must always see them in deeni wise also, they must be in good condition, in worldly life also, the health and all of these things in a good condition. And then it's dua before getting children, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for pious offspring. And when a person has children also, he should continue making the dua. To Allah Ta'ala, grant us from your side, our children and our wives, the coolness of our eyes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And Allah, make us the imams of the muttaqin, the pious people. So one meaning, there are many different meanings of it. One meaning is that Allah, we are very weak people. But Allah, give us such high levels of taqwa and piety that the other people of iman, they start looking up to us and they start following us. So we're not doing it because of pride or whatever. But Allah, we want to get more thawabs in the year after, when people will follow us, our good actions, inshallah our ranks will raise in the year after. So Allah, make us amongst the imams of the muttaqin. Give us such a high level of taqwa and piety that other people will look up to us and they will start following us. So what a beautiful dua of the Quran Sharif. What a jami' and comprehensive dua. So Allah, give us tawfiq, inshallah. We all try daily to take our time and to make this dua. After every namaz also we can make this dua, because the controller of the heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another dua, Mawlana Aqil Sahib, down barakatum, Shaykh Rahmatullah's son-in-law, grandson, he mentioned that the dua comes in Abu Dawud Sharif, and he says many people, alhamdulillah, benefit from the dua. Many people were having marriage problems, the marriages were breaking, and he told them to read the dua, the sunnah dua. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina, واللهم ألف بين قلوبنا. It's a long dua. وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام. But the first portion of the dua is اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا. Oh Allah, unite our hearts. Always keep our hearts connected and joined together. Because وألف بين قلوبهم. Allah is the only one who can join hearts. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم. If you had to spend all the money in the world, you will never be able to join and connect hearts. ولكن الله ألف بينهم. Allah is the only one who can join hearts. So really we need to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Normally in any marriage, we are always looking for barakat. Everyone says, make dua for barakat. And the dua also after getting married is, barakallahu laka wa alayka wa jama' bainakuma fi khair. Allah must give barakat and blessings in the marriage. And what does barakat mean? The kathirun manafi'. Even if we have little bit of means, but Allah must put a lot of benefit and goodness. So even if a person doesn't have so much of money, but he's got barakat in that money, a lot of good he'll be able to do with that money. And if a person is a millionaire, billionaire, but he hasn't got barakat in that money, all of that money eventually will go to waste. There won't be benefit for a person in akhirat, in this world also and in akhirat. So we're all asking for barakat and blessings in our life, and we all need muhabbat, we need love in our marriages. These are two basic ingredients. If a person has got barakah and he's got muhabbat, love, then inshallah that marriage will be a great enjoyment in a person's life, happiness in a person's life. Now how will a person attain this barakah and muhabbat? One is we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also have to make some effort in that line. Hazrat Amir rahmatullah is the example. He says you get dua, and dua is of two types. Certain duas we have to make for those things not in our control. Example, we want rain. Rain is not in our control. So that day we can only make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other way. But there are certain things which a person, he has to make an effort also. He says the farmer plants the seed, a small action, he just put one seed in the ground. But then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is the one who sends the rain down, and then the plants come out. So we have to make some effort in that line. So as I say, is an example, a person, he cut his trouser, the belt of his trouser, and he's standing and making dua that Allah, let my trouser fall down. Yeah, his trouser isn't going to fall down. You can't make dua at that time. You cut the belt, and now you're expecting your trouser to stay up, and I'm making dua for this. So as I say, the day you have to make effort also, and then you make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And he said the benefit of this is, whatever you do in life, and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah puts barakat and blessings in that endeavor. So you planted a seed, and then you make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So inshallah, goodness will come out. The plant will grow, and there will be goodness in the seed. You're working in our shop, we're earning money, but make dua to Allah Ta'ala also that Allah must give barakah, blessings, Allah must give halal coming. So not just I'm earning myself, I'm doing. But make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that goodness. Then we will see goodness coming out from that endeavor. So anyhow, together with dua, we have to make these duas which I mentioned now. But together with this, what efforts can a person make to get barakah and blessings in his nikah? So the first thing is, inna azaman nikahi baraka aytharuhu ma'una. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the nikah with the most amount of barakah and blessings is the one in which there is the least expenditure, the least effort a person makes in that nikah. One sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, only he said it with his tongue, and he practically showed it in his life. It comes in one hadith that three things, do not delay them. Three things. When the time of salah comes in, do not delay the namaz of salah. When the bayah comes, the janazah comes, do not delay that. Perform the janazah immediately. And when an appropriate match is found, then do not delay the nikah. Do not delay the nikah. Means as quickly as possible, make the nikah. Unfortunately, it's our habit nowadays that, okay, we are proposed. We wait 3 months, 6 months, 2 months, 1 month. But look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one sunnah. Every nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as the proposal took place, the nikah took place immediately. And so much so that sometimes it was outwardly, it didn't seem correct. Aisha radiallahu anha was 6 years old when the Prophet proposed for her. And they performed the nikah straight away. She was still too small to make rukhsati to go and stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 years later only she moved with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rukhsati took place later on, but the nikah took place immediately. Hazrat Ummi Habiba radiallahu anha, most likely she was in Abyssinia. Her husband had passed away, he became murtad and he left the fold of Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to get married to her, Najashi had accepted Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to him to perform his nikah. So she wasn't even there. I have to wait for my wife to come from an overseas country, then we'll perform the nikah. The nikah took place immediately. He even performed the walima there in Abyssinia. And then eventually he sent her to Ummi Habiba radiallahu anha back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One safar Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for Umrah. And most likely it was Maymuna radiallahu anha. He proposed to her. She accepted the proposal. They made the nikah in ihram. Not after my umrah, in ihram, he performed the nikah straight away. He went to Makkah Mukarramah. There was only allowed 3 days in Makkah Mukarramah. He told the people of Makkah Mukarramah, allow me to consummate my marriage. I'll even have walima, yeah. They said, no, we don't need your walima. So against Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no problem. Then he came out and he came back to the place called Tarif, and then he consummated his nikah there, and then the walima took place there also. And then Maimuna radiallahu anha, she passed away there also. From all the Azwaj and Mutahharat, the 9 of in Medina Munawara, she passed away in the same place. The others all buried in Baqi. So anyhow, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, it was the time of her menses. The wisdom performed the nikah. We have to work out the timings nowadays, you know. We have to work out exactly what time it is. Poor husband, so many years he's making roza, now he's making iftar. So it's so difficult for the person. So now we have to have the time. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed the example. As soon as then the woman was ready, he performed the nikah. And then after 1 week when she became a haidah finished, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved in with her. So there was no such thing as delaying. So this delaying is actually against the sunnah practice, this amal of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout his life. Every nikah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no example where it was delayed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said this, that they do not delay the nikah when the time is there. So obviously a person must make full investigation, find out, are we happy? But once the it comes now that we are happy, we are ready to get married, then the nikah should take place immediately. Whether that person is there, our sheikh is there, the alim is there, our family is there, the nikah must take place as quickly as possible. There is no need for delaying 1 month, 2 months, we wait for a jalsa to take place, we wait for a islah jalsa, we wait for the ishtima to take place. But the quicker we perform the nikah, this will be more in line with the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And imagine in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, most likely he is amongst the Ashara Mubashara, close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His nikah is performed in Medina Munawara, but the Nabi of Allah doesn't even know. At that time they used to use a certain perfume on the clothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that perfume on the clothing. He asked him, did you get married? He said, yes, oh Nabi of Allah, I got married. So he never even go and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm getting married. Obviously there's nothing wrong with asking for du'as, etc. But how simple the nikahs were. This morning also the nikah is just mentioned, the incident of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that Salman radiallahu anhu told Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, go and arrange for me by this house here. So they went to the house, he went to propose on behalf of his friend. He told the people, you know, my friend wants to get married. They say, you know, Salman, we're not too happy with him, but you know, we like you as a son-in-law. You don't want to get married to our daughter. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, I got no problem. So anyhow, the nikah was so simple, so quickly the nikah was performed, that Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu didn't even know about it. A few days later, imagine your friend, you ask him to go and propose somewhere for you, and now he comes back after a few days, and now you ask him what happened, he says, hey, I got married to that lady. Ya Allah, there will be war, you will kill that person. But look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's heart. He says, what happened? He says, you're very bad thing, I can't even explain to you. He says, no, nakam is so bad. They tell me, he said, no, actually they wanted me to get married. The worst, he said, the worst thing, they say no. Said, no. Actually they asked me to get married, and I performed the nikah, I got married. So Salman radiallahu anhu, look at his heart, he said, please forgive me. What was written in your taqdeer, I was trying to include in this. SubhanAllah, this is the heart of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But what I'm trying to show is how simple the nikahs were. Allah make it, inshallah, that we also try to bring alive the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make our nikahs as simple as possible and not to delay in the nikah. If the rukhsati, now it's not the right time, after 3 months, 6 months, it's also following in line with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you make the rukhsati after some time, and then the walima will take place after the rukhsati. That's also, there's only a walima in our Islam, from the girls side feeding and having a big function and all of this. This is not the tariqah of the people of Islam, the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum and all our pious predecessors. There is no such thing as feeding from the girl side. The only feeding which is there is from the side of the male, and that is the walima function which is given after the rukhsati, after the husband and wife have spent some time together. And then as a shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person has a walima. And that's also a walima, some walimas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isra Mani was where Zainab radiallahu anha's nikah took place in the heavens. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time he performed, the sheep was cut, that was a big walima. And there also it wasn't in a hall, it was in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 10 people came in the house was small. 10 people ate, they went away. Next 10 people came in, they ate inside, they went away. Next 10 people came, they went in, they ate, and they went away. And that way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fed over 100 some people. So simple it was. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, it was on a journey. So Hazrat Maimuna radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever food you got, bring it. Everyone brought the food, they all sat down, and that was the walima. So simple. There wasn't any need now for a big function. If a person Allah has given him means, no problem. A person can give. There's two meanings of the hadith. Give walima, even if it's a sheep. If you've got extra money, you can give that day, no problem. But extravagance, and the more a person can come unto simplicity, Allah will put more barakah and blessings in that nikah. So this is one very important thing. Our nikah should start off in the correct way. And today, unfortunately, we follow the Hindu customs, muharu, and I don't know, funny things. Then we have a mehndi party, that's also a Hindu custom. And nowadays, even you're getting some places, Allah forbid, dancing taking place. You learn a certain style of dancing in the day, and the woman do those things. And bharat, all these cars, you decorate them, and you put all these things on the car. But man is getting married, you put in, beautifying the car. This is actually a Hindu custom also. Then we follow the Christian customs, the white dress, or the tiara, they wear this crown, this white crown, whatever. And then they got these bridesmaids, people holding the long dress, the people walking behind the there. Or the ring. To give a ring, is nothing wrong with it. But the way the ring is done, you have to put it on the fingers. Actually, it was a thing of the Christian, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then they put they say this is the ring finger. So they used to call it on those three, and then they put the ring finger, and they put the ring on the fourth finger. So that also is not our system and our way. And in some places, they throw all these flowers, mistletoe, and all of these things. So these are all funny customs which we follow. And in today's time, the modern customs, where the photography is there also, music is taking place. We want to bring Allah's rahmat to come down, but we are bringing actually Allah's anger in that nikah. How can we expect goodness to come out thereafter? One lady was about to pass away, she was about to get married, and it was her wedding day in Saudi Arabia, this incident happened, and she was wearing her dress, and she heard adhan for the Isha Salah. So she performed the Maghrib Salah, and then she got herself dolled up, whatever, that they put some makeup. Even the makeup is very harmful, but then now she put on her makeup, and then she was about to perform, but she had adhan for Isha Salah, and she realized her wudu was broken. She told her mother, you know what, my wudu is broken, I have to make wudu. Mother said, you're going to make wudu, all your makeup will get wiped out, and then your dress will become a bit upset, your hairstyle. You know what, you can do your Isha later on. She said, no, my Salah comes first. She said, my daughter, if you're going to go, you won't look very nice in the eyes of the people. She said, Ma, I don't have to look nice in the eyes of people. I must look beautiful in the eyes of my Creator. So the mother said, people will laugh at you. She said, I don't care if they laugh at me. So she never listened. The mother said, you have to listen to your mother. There is no, your mother's command is for us. She said, oh, my mother, you know, but there is no disobedience. There is no obedience to the creation and disobedience to the Creator. Anyhow, she went, she wiped all her makeup got wiped out. And she started performing her wudu. And she started performing her salah. And when she went into sajda, she never realized it would be the last sajda of her life. She passed away in sajda on a wedding night. She passed away. But she gave preference to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a mot Allah ta'ala gave to her. So Allah gave her tawfiq. So many people missed their salah on the wedding night. And then how do we expect the rahmat and mercy of Allah ta'ala to come upon us? So Allah gave us tawfiq. The first thing is our nikahs must be very, very simple, according to the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we get married in our homes also, a few basic things we should have in our homes for us to draw the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is salam. Whenever we enter our homes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ فَسَلِّمْ تَكُنْ بَرَكَةً عَلَيْكَ. When you enter your homes, then make salam. This will be barakah and blessings for yourself and for your family members. So we think salam is such a small thing, but are we making salam when we enter our homes? When we are leaving our homes, we are leaving them in the salamati and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husband and wife are having problems, big problems. They went to one sheikh, their sheikh, as if we want a divorce, too much of problems. The sheikh asked them, okay, just give me a bit of chance, 3 months, 6 months, and then after that you can, if you want to make a divorce, I'll allow you. But I just want you to do one thing. When you enter the house, husband, you make salam. And all your problems which you got for the whole day, you just leave it outside the house, you don't bring it in the house. Wife, you make salam and you meet the husband with a smiling face, and you don't bring all your problems, whatever happened in the day, just meet one another with love. Not even 2 or 3 weeks they came and said, all our problems are solved. The barakat of salam. So really, it might seem to be something very simple, but there is so much of barakah and blessings in every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So make us a habit. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. Allah said, when you enter your houses, make sure you give salam to your family members. This is a greeting from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of barakah and full of blessings. So one thing is to make salam whenever we enter our homes, and we are leaving our homes also to make salam. When you enter your house and if there's nobody there also, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. This is the teaching from our elders. A person should recite this dua when entering the homes. The second thing in our homes we should try to have is tilawat of Quran Sharif. Make zikr of Allah Ta'ala, tilawat of Quran Sharif in our homes. If we have got Quran Sharif in our homes, then we can expect barakah and blessings. Taskunuhul malaika. The angels start living in that house. Tahajuruhu shaitan, and shaitan runs away from that house. In which the tilawat of Quran Sharif takes place. Today, unfortunately, we have taken out the tilawat of Quran Sharif, and we have brought the TV in our homes. So the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala has gone out. Before, in the past, people used to sleep early, wake up early, early to bed, early to rise, be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Was a famous thing. But today we sleep late because of the television. Then how can a person wake up for Fajr Salah? As it mentions in those days, you know, a person used to walk in the street and you hear the sounds of tilawat of Quran Sharif taking place. But today there's no tilawat of Quran after Fajr taking place in our homes at the time of Tahajjud Salah. How can you expect rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala to come down? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, in that house in which tilawat of Quran takes place, Allah puts barakat and blessings in that house. The family members increase. There's so much of barakah and blessings. The shaitans run away and the angels inhabit that house. But if no tilawat of Quran Sharif is taking place, then the shaitans come in that house. Barakah and blessings is taken away. And there is no barakah and blessings amongst the people. There is not so many people in the house also. So if you want barakah and blessings in our homes, tilawat of Quran Sharif. Another also great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to read Bismillah. When a person enters the house, we read the dua. Shaitan is actually waiting outside and he wants to enter the house with us. So when a person reads Bismillah when entering the house, and actually there's a whole long dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaji wa khayr al-makhraji, Bismillahi waladina wa Bismillahi kharajina wa alullahi rabbina tawakkalna. So when a person reads this dua, then shaitan tells all his friends, la mabita lakum, there's no place for you to spend the night tonight. So there's no, now they cannot enter that house. But if a person doesn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala, then shaitan enters the house with him. Then when he's sitting down to eat his meals, when shaitan comes there, he also wants to enter, he wants to join. The person takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan says, La asha alakum, there's no supper for you now tonight. And then shaitan is not able to eat the supper. So Bismillah, to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every action of ours. So much so when a person is having relations with his wife, there's a sunnah dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which generally people forget to read. But, وَسَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, shaitan took up, he promised that he's no. Allah ta'ala gave him the certain powers, join them in their wealth and in their children. So the tafsir Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi gives is, when a person does not take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan joins him in the action. He covers himself around the private part, and he also takes part in that action of the person. So Hazrat Mu'azzami sallallahu alayhi wa barakatuh mentioned many times, he said many times now when a child becomes big, and the child is troubling, then the mother says, shaitan ka bacha hai, shaitan's child. He said, the mother knows very well exactly, because she was there at that time, she knows exactly shaitan is the father of the child, because a person never took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. So how important it is to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person takes the name of Allah ta'ala, then shaitan, when the child is born, then shaitan will not be able to cause harm to that child. So to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are simple things, but for really to bring it into our lives, Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And then also very important to have in our homes ta'aleem, an environment of kitab reading. When a person has a ta'aleem, also we'll expect the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take place, to come. Allah ta'ala actually commands the azwati mutahharat in the Quran Sharif. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That the ayat of the Quran Sharif, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make ta'aleem in your homes. Continue reminding one another about those things. So really to have ta'aleem in our homes also is of great importance. And then the final point is of taqwa. To have taqwa in our lives. And this is actually what our whole Islam is about. If a person has got taqwa in his life, there will be a lot of barakah and blessings and goodness in his life, in his marriage also. And taqwa means to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll just give one, two examples. One form of taqwa is for a person to look after his gazes. This was something which was very dear and deep in the heart of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, through his barakah and blessings, this whole gathering is taking place. And they could say there was no bayan of Hazrat, which he never mentioned about this year. They look after your gazes. And today, one of the main causes why there is no happiness in our homes is because we are not looking after our gazes. Khabz al-Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا تَوَادَّ إِثْنَانِ فَيُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالذَّمِّ يُذْنِبُ وَحَدُهُمَا. Two people have got love for one another. And then thereafter, they start having problems. They start having fights among themselves. It is because, in most cases, there are some exceptions to the rule, but in most cases, it is because of a guna and sin one of them has committed. So now a husband comes home and he's fighting with his wife, and his wife is not attractive to me, and I'm not getting enjoyment from my wife, and she's always, her moods are not right. But actually, maybe I was sitting in the office and I was sitting with my secretary. I was doing haram with her. I was looking at all the other women. I was on the pictures, and how we had a bayan this morning about zina, going close to zina. So a person is now wasting his time on all of those things. Pornography, how many people are involved in it?
A person says, I'm married, person, so many years I'm married, but I started this habit long before I got married, and now he's continuing with that action. So now he's expecting his wife, why isn't my wife so beautiful? Why am I getting any enjoyment from my wife? But the main cause of the shay is because the person is not looking after his gazes. He's getting himself involved in haram. How will he get enjoyment in his life? Our buzrugs have mentioned so beautifully, they say that Allah is written rosy and sustenance for every single person. Well, your rosy is written. If you're going to earn ₹1 million in your life, you're going to earn ₹1 million. But you've got a choice now, you're going to earn ₹1 million in the halal way, in the haram way. Whatever money was written for you, you're going to get it. So if you decide I want to get the money quickly, let me go and rob the bank. So I go, I rob the bank, I got my ₹1 million. Then I get locked up in jail now for 10 years. So I got my ₹1 million, but with disgrace, embarrassment. And I've got that ₹1 million with me. You can't find the money, I've got it with me. Another person says, I will go through the halal way, the halal channel. So he goes now, he earns, he's working every month, he's earning his 5,000 and 10,000 rand. But what is that with honor? He's coming home, he's spending time with his family. And in 10 years, he also earns his ₹1 million. He earned it in the halal way, he'll get sawab for it also. And Allah will put barakah and blessings in that wealth. He's got his ₹1 million. And the other man got his ₹1 million, but with disgrace, embarrassment, locked up in jail also. He chose the haram way, and this man chose the halal way. Similarly, they say your rosy and sustenance is not only with regards to wealth. The enjoyment a person is going to get in life is also risk and rosy of a sustenance of a person. So if a person is earning his risk in a haram way, he's going to get so much of enjoyment in his life. Now he's got a choice. Can he earn it in a halal way or in a haram way? He's going through the haram avenue. So automatically when he gets married, he's not going to get that enjoyment in life. That's why most people when they get married, then suddenly there's a divorce. Why? I was a love marriage. I went out with that man for 5 years. I know that person in and out. But now all the barakah and blessings and the goodness, the desires which you had, use it in a haram way. Now when you get married in halal, it's finished now. But there's no enjoyment in the day. One person wrote to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, and he said, Hazrat, after coming to your majali, sitting in the company of the pious people, and changes have come into my life, I'm getting taqwa. But I've got a problem actually, that I thought I'd be more engaged in salat, and more in the masjid, but I'm finding my love for my wife is increasing. So isn't this a problem? Like I supposed to be more involved in the masjid. Hazrat said, no, this is the definite effect of taqwa. When you will have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for your wife is also written as part of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to have extreme love for your wife is not a problem at all. Actually, that's the demand of taqwa. The more you will abstain from other women, Allah will give you the love for your wife. So today many people, because we are watching the TV, obviously you're watching the TV, you're going to look at that woman there, the picture, or you're on the cell phone. How are you going to get happiness in your wife? Because you're looking at somebody outwardly who's dolled up, who's more beautiful than your wife, outwardly. In real life, she's not as beautiful as your wife. That is outwardly, shaitan comes in the hadith, shaitan beautifies this woman. Now when you're looking at that woman, and then you're coming back home looking at your wife, you're not going to get happiness in your life. But if you never looked at that woman, and you're just looking at your wife, all that enjoyment Allah has placed outside, or that enjoyment you're supposed to get, you will get it in your wife. So really, if a person can learn to look after his gazes, subhanAllah, the one great benefit, many, many benefits he will get, one great benefit, Allah will make his wife look like the whore of Jannah in this world already. He will get great enjoyment from her. There won't be an hour need for him now. He's always fighting with his wife, arguing with his wife. So really, this is one thing of taqwa we have to bring in our lives. Abstain looking after our eyes. If we look at a person, look after his eyes, see how much of love he will have in his marriage. And the other of taqwa also, which comes by sitting in the company of the mashayikh and the buzrugani deen, is our anger. A person has to learn how to control his anger. Anger is a natural quality which comes in a person. But really, for a person to control his anger. And thus, we learn from our elders, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person went to him, give me some advice. Nabi said, La taqdab, do not become angry. Again he asked, again he said, don't get angry. Again he asked, he said, don't get angry. Hazrat Muhammad Shullah Rahmatullah Ali, this is one special advice he used to give. That he said, cut your anger. He said, make dawa of your anger. Cut your anger. He said, you especially give this year for the husband. A person must control his anger. Once a person went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he had some problem with his wife. He said, let me go to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to ask him how can I solve my problem with my wife. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was married to the daughter of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umm Kulthum, the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was very young also. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was an elderly person. But anyhow, when he went to the house, so he heard Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhu shouting Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, reprimanding him. So he was surprised. He said, you know what, if he can't solve his problems, he can solve my problems. I also got the same problems like this. So he turned around to go away. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu followed him and said, what happened? He said, no, I came, I had a problem with my wife. And she's telling me all of these things. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that, see, your wife has got certain rights over us. That this wife, she fulfills your desires, so you don't have to go towards haram. She fulfills my desires. She cooked for me when I come home. There's a pot of food there. He says she looked after my children in those times. She washes my clothing and she gets my clothing in today's time. She makes it ready. She puts it in the cupboard. She looks after us. So many favors she has done upon me. Now if little bit she gets upset about with me, what can I do? I have to tolerate that, overlook that there. But then, you know, my wife also does all of these favors for me, but I never really thought about it. And I must appreciate, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this year. So anyhow, he went away. So these really, we should think about it, how a woman's mind works. We all know it's like very difficult. The wife says the same thing about the husband says the same thing about the wife. There was one day one person, he found one lamp. So he rubbed the lamp and one jinnah came out. So he said, I'll give you one thing, whatever you want, one thing I'll do for you. So he said, you know, the Muslims in Palestine and in how much of problems they got, so much of fighting and killing and all of that, we need to solve the problem between the Jews and the Muslims. And jinnah said, you know, what the heavy thing, you know, to get the Muslims and Jews together on one table, it's impossible. How are we going to make the whole, solve the whole problem in the Middle East? He said, can you ask me something easier, please? They say, okay, you know, I'm married 25 years, 30 years. And so many years I'm married, but you know, I still can't understand how my wife thinks. You know, I try to make her happy. She gets upset. She thinks that I was trying to cause harm to her. I say one thing and I meant something nice. I thought I'm doing her a favor. She gets so upset with me. She don't want to talk to me for 2 days. I have to make so much of sabr with her. So can you please explain to me, how does a woman's mind work? How does a brain work? So the jinnah thought about it for a while and said, you know what, bring me the map of the Middle East. It's much easier to solve that problem, to make you understand it here. So anyhow, they think the same thing about us. But if a person loves to learn, to tolerate, Allah give me first tawfiq and all of us tawfiq, that small things, we don't start fighting and arguing. You see, the only time a person must, both husband and wife must be shouting in the house is when the house is on fire. Otherwise, a person must learn to tolerate. And I'm speaking about this here first, so I must get the same quality within myself. Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah said, whatever weaknesses we got, we must speak about it there. So inshallah, if a person learns to tolerate, and this, by sitting in the company and sohbat of Buzurgani, being five people, inshallah, one quality which comes into the person, whatever is in their heart, the qualities they've got, it rubs off onto a person. So we need to bring this quality within ourselves, tawadu and humility. If a person has got pride, and he says, I'm never prepared to say sorry, I'm always right, then that marriage, how is it going to flourish? How is it going to go ahead? If the husband now, he says, I'm always right, she says, I'm always right. And this is one harm which has come because of Western education, that even the women folk, they also think they are right. Before the man says, I'm right, the woman says, whatever you say, then the marriage will still continue. But today the woman says, I'm right, the husband says, he's right. And then obviously when both of them are right, then there will be a fight all the time in the house. They'll never continue. And the person has to learn to have a big heart. They say a very famous thing, that you need a big heart to run a big show. So you as a man, Allah has to give us that heart also, and a person has to learn how to bring these qualities into our life. So just to summarize, inshallah, in the beginning we spoke about one sunnah, the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Quran Sharif, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And اللهم أَلِّفْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِنَا. Oh Allah, unite our hearts. And then we spoke about our marriages. If you want barakah and blessings, muhabbat in our families, that one is that we have our nikahs as simple as possible. And the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to have a nikah as quickly as possible. There was no delay in the nikahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no all other customs. And the walima used to take place. So the great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with that in our homes, together of the television, to bring ta'lim in our homes, to have salah in our homes, to have the dhikr of Allah ta'ala in our homes, tilawat of Quran Sharif in our homes. Outwardly, we may not getting so much of enjoyment. Outwardly, what the people of the world are getting, the TV and watching this program. But Allah will create that muhabbat. Allah will create that love in our homes. May Allah grant myself and all of us and give the whole Muslim ummah the true understanding for our deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.